All right, so we're continuing on now in the book of 1 Corinthians. We've made it all the way to page 132. In the New Testament. So, we made it a long way. Huh?
I'm further along in my Bible than that
page. I'm sure, yeah. So, so it's in page 132 of the Pew Bibles, New Testament Pew Bibles. This week, we're going to look at fake Christianity. I don't know if anybody has ever heard of fake Christianity or not, but there is fake Christianity out there. There are people who want to make all kinds of things into Christianity.
Are you talking to Keating or the people?
Say what?
Are you talking to Keating or the people?
Both.
Okay.
Both.
I'm trying to clarify here.
Well, so... So, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to go 9 and following. We're going to talk about 1 through 8 throughout it. So, don't worry. We're not skipping 1 through 8. The 9 to 13 is where we're really going to be highlighting, because it's kind of his, hey guys, this is what I was really talking about here. So, let's kind of reel it back in. So he says, I wrote to you in my letter, right? Remember, this is the second letter, well called 1 Corinthians, actually the second letter. He says, I wrote to you not to associate with sexually immoral people. He says, I did not mean with sexually immoral people of this world, or with the greedy and the swindlers, or with idolaters, for then you would have to leave the world. You'd have to go away from the world if I meant, don't do this with the people of the world. Right. But actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother. If he is sexually immoral person, or a greedy person, idolater, verbally abusive, habitually drunk, or a swindler. Not even to eat with such person. For what business of mine is it to judge outsiders? I'm not judging those who are not in the church. That's what he's saying here. This isn't a judgment against those who are not in the church. This is a judgment against those who are in the church. Do you not judge those who are within the church? But those who are outside, God judges. Right? Those who are outside the church, those who are outside the faith, God's judging them. Get rid of the people who are saying they're Christians and yet doing what they want. Jesus is a sinner.
Here's one.
Those guys.
Part of the Bible, right?
So, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 and 2, right? The first thing that he's talking about in this 9 through 13 portion is the first part of the book, the chapter. It's actually reported there is sexual immorality among you. So, once again, he's not talking about sexual immorality outside the church. He's like, oh, there's sexual immorality outside the church? Shocker. We should be surprised by that. No, we shouldn't. He actually says, hey guys, don't be surprised. There are going to be sexually immoral people outside the church. Don't be surprised by that. We shouldn't be shocked that people are immoral outside the church. Shouldn't be surprised by that. That people do what they want outside the church. We should be shocked. No. It's going to happen. Right? But the problem is, hey guys, there's sexual immorality among you. It's in the church. What are you doing? You guys are dividing over silly stuff. Yet this is going on? Really? There is sexual immorality among you. You've got to be kidding me. That's kind of what Paul's saying here. You've got to be kidding me. And sexual immorality of such a kind as does not even exist among the Gentiles. You want to look out at the world and say there's sexual immorality? They don't do this stuff. Stop it. You've got to be kidding me. Namely, that someone has his father's wife. What? He's like, this could either be his stepmother, right? somebody is betting his stepmother, or somebody's betting his mother. Ew. Why? Why are they letting this continue? Paul continues. You've become arrogant and have not mourned. Instead, so that the one who had done this deed would be removed from your midst, get rid of him. He is not a Christian. He is in the church claiming Christ, but it's obvious. Get rid of him. That's what Paul says there. He's not making bones about it. Get rid of him. Are there certain things that we should separate over? Yes. Should it be based on little things? No. Chapters 1 through 4 have been about all the little things that people are separating over. And then he gets to chapter 5 and he's like, you've got to be kidding me. He says, hey, you know, I expect sexual morality in the world. I do not expect it in the church. Why? Because the church is not of the world. They're not of the world. They're in it, not of it. Right? If you thought you were going to be in the world and be, you know, rid of everything, you know, of all this immorality that you see, well, you got a problem because you're not. But don't be of the world. This guy, who's sleeping with his stepmother or mother, whichever, is obviously of the world. We're not to have the world in the church. Is there the world, right? Are there those who are going to adhere to the ways of the world? Yes. Are they Christians? Removed from your midst. Get rid of him. He's not a Christian. What Paul is saying here about this guy. Now, there's in the world and there's of the world. And Jesus differentiates and he tells us the difference between the two. But now I am coming to you. And these things I speak in the world, so they may have my joy made full in themselves. Right? I'm speaking this in the world. We're here. Guess what? We're in the world. It'd be shocking if we were in the world and we didn't see weird things, didn't see things that don't match what the Bible tells us. That would be weird because the world is not going to match Jesus. They're not.
Well, that's what he died for. Right.
We're in the world. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, right? This is the disciples, because they are not of the world. How are we called to be? In the world, but not of the world. Just as I am not of the world. Why are we not of the world? Because we're following Christ, and Christ is not of the world. To say that we are a Christian or a follower of Christ and to be of the world, to do the things the world does, is to be a fake Christian. To be following these abhorrent theologies of Jesus was a racist. Brandon Robertson, you can look it up. We can talk about that later. Somebody has said it. Jesus was a sinner. Once again, we've got problems with our theology. It starts at the foundation. Jesus is saying, though. He says, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. Right? They need to be in the world. We need to be here. Otherwise, how can one make an impact? If we're not in the world, we cannot make an impact. The problem is people go too far and they become of the world. And when we become of the world, the impact is not us on the world, but the world on us. And our theology becomes wrong. And we start to preach things that are incorrect. We start to teach things that are wrong, that are bad. Our theology becomes worldly and not Christian at all. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them away from the evil one, right? That's that Lord's Prayer. Deliver us from evil. Don't take the temptation away, right? Just keep me from following it. Problem is people stop saying, I don't want to follow it. He said, make the theology good. Make what is bad good. That's what they've done. That's this new theology. That's this fake Christianity that's going on in America. It's bad. Because they want to make what's bad good. He says, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. We are not of this world. That's what we're called to be. Not of this world. Right? There's a clothing line called Not of This World. You might have seen it. It's like NOTW. It's got a crown of thorns around the T. Right? That's what they're referencing.
I never saw that.
You have. You just don't realize it.
Okay.
They've got stamps and stickers. And I've seen it everywhere. It's kind of crazy. So, sanctify us in the truth. Sanctify them in the truth, and your word is truth. If we are sanctified, we will not fall for these errant theologies. We won't fall for it. We'll stay in the word of God. We will follow God's word, his path, not our own. Not the path that's not in the Bible. Problem is we allow the world to get to us, and we become, you know, it's this. We get these errant theologies, right? Sexual immorality becomes okay. Greed becomes okay. If you give to the ministry, God will bless you, right? We've all heard it. It's garbage. It's garbage. It's fake Christianity. We see it in America today. It's right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 9 to 13. These are all fake Christianities we see in America. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money. The love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. Not all evil, but all sorts of it. Right? All the kinds, all the sins that there is, they are rooted in greed, in lust. When man fell, right? When Eve said, oh, yeah, we can eat of this.
When man fell, he fell on his face.
It was, she, what did Satan say? Oh, no, that's not going to kill you. You're going to become like God. And she says, okay, let's do this.
I'm going to be God.
I'm going to be God. It's lusting for God's job. It's this lust, this pride that we have as human beings. It's all wrapped up into greed.
Yeah, I'm going
to
take over the world.
Right? We have to be content with what you have. Being content with what you have. For he himself says, I will never desert you, nor will I ever abandon you. God's not going to desert us or abandon us. Right? We got to remember, this is where our character's got to be. Free from the love of money. That's where our character needs to be. Where does it go instead? Worried about money. Worried about bills. That's the number one problem in marriages today. It's money. Who cares? Christ has got to be the center point. If Christ is not our focus, our focus leaves where it's supposed to be, guess what? Things like money will become a problem. They're a problem in our theology. They will become a problem in our home. We've got to remember, right? He brings it back to the center point here. The writer, whoever it is, right? We don't even know who wrote Hebrews. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, right? He says, the Lord is my helper. You can't be worried about money, right? Instead, you got to worry about the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? We get so wrapped up in the money part that we forget that God is there. Are we reliant on him? Or are we just making our own theologies, doing what we want? I think, and I would posit, that some of the church, a lot of the church, they've gone away from this and gone to this. Give me money. Right? It's about what God will do for you. Right? They don't make God a helper, but a genie instead. Don't be swindlers. Right? There are many, not just in the church, but out of the church as well, these little pyramid schemes, these little get-rich-quick schemes. That's in the church, too. People do it. People fall for it. It's being a swindler. It's stealing. To line your own pocket. Right? Buy the ministry a jet. Stealing. To line your own pocket. Two men went in the temple to pray. Two guys go in the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. In the Jewish world, that is like the most righteous guy and kind of the scum of the earth. They both go into the temple to pray. Right? The Pharisee stood and began praying in this regard to himself. God, thank you that I am not like other people. Not like the swindlers or the crooked, the adulterers, even like this tax collector, the scum of the earth. Thank you that I'm nothing like them. Pay tithes, right? Or I fast twice a week. Right? I'm doing this, fasting twice a week for you, God. Right? I pay tithes of all that I get. Right? I'm a good dude. I'm doing everything I gotta do.
Don't have to go to church. I'm good.
But the tax collector, standing some distance away, he's not even willing to come up to the altar. He's like, I can't do that. I can't get there. I got problems. Right? He wasn't even willing to raise his eyes to look upon the temple. And he starts beating his chest. And he says, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I got problems. So which one was worse? The one who knew he was a swindler and knew he had problems? Or the one who swindled in the name of God and thought that he didn't have any problems? Well, Jesus answers. He says, I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other one. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. The one who humbles himself will be exalted. Right? This guy's swindling for God. Right? Jesus goes into the temple and he's yelling at the Pharisees and he's got whips and he's throwing things around. Right? They were swindling the people in the name of God. Tax collector's at least doing it in the name of Rome. Not in the name of God. That's the problem. Problem is, are we trying to rob people in the name of God? That's sick. In the church in America, we are. This is present.
Personally, I don't think I'm.
Maybe not individually, we haven't, but the church in America's got a problem with this. It's almost like Paul is writing the book of 1 Corinthians to the church in America, like, yo, don't do this stuff. Don't make these separations. There are more denominations in America than anywhere else in the world. Why? Because we take little things and we make them big deals. And we don't take these big deals and make them big deals. We change them to little things.
Much of the world has abandoned the church altogether.
Yeah, there is that part too. You know, don't let idolaters into the church. Do we do that? You're like, no, we don't do that. Oh, I would beg to differ. Make idols of our pastors. We make idols of our, you know, things in the church. We make idols of, you know, everything. It got even worse with COVID, I think. The idolatry in the church got worse because we started to idolize our health, started to idolize ourselves. Health became more important than following the commands of God. Do not forsake the assembly of believers. When we stop following the commands of God and we start making our own commands or following the commands of man, we have abandoned the New Testament. We have abandoned God. We have abandoned the teachings we've been given. That's idolatry. That's a problem. The one who overcomes will inherit these things. One who overcomes is going to inherit eternal life in the kingdom of God. That's what he's talking about here. This is the revelation. It's about to get real. It already done got real, actually. We're at the very tail end here. He says, you know, the one who overcomes, one who continues in their walk of faith to the end, the one who overcomes will inherit these things. And I will be his God and he will be my son. There's that inheritance, that adoption that we have into the fold of God. But for the cowardly, those who leave out of fear, the unbelieving, those who just never believed, the abominable, right? Those who are doing these immoral things, the murderers, Jesus says that those who have hatred towards their brother is a murderer. The sexually immoral, the sorcerers, those who are, you know, well, tarot readings, you know, this new age junk that's coming to the church, and it's there. They're in plenty of churches teaching this new age junk, the secret, right? Law of attraction. It's in the church and it's garbage. Just that, the law of attraction, you think about what you want most and it'll come to you. Oh, yeah. Well, that's called the law of attraction and it's garbage, right? The idolaters. All these things are forms of idolatry. These are all forms of idolatry, right? And all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. This is a second death. Don't fall for it. It's garbage.
It'd be good to have a t-shirt with that right there on the back of it. So when you're standing in line, people are back there reading it.
There's problems in the church today. We've got idolatry issues. We're worshiping the wrong things. Problem is we've stopped being just in the world and we've become of the world. But Christ says we've got to be in the world. We do have to go into the world. It's hard to fulfill the Great Commission if we're not going into the world. Go therefore. Go where? Go to the church. Go therefore. Make disciples of all nations. It's hard to go into nations to make disciples if we're not going into the world. We can't shelter ourselves. There are too many churches doing that too. That's bad. That's just as bad because you're not doing what's called the Great Commission. You are not following this commandment of God. Can you love God and not obey Him? Really hard. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Right? Hard to follow what I'm being told to do, obey what's being directed, if I'm not going anywhere and I'm staying. Can't do it. Right? The problem is people have stopped being in the world and started being off the world. Right? All of this has come back into the church. Right? This is what Paul is writing about to Timothy. He writes several times to Timothy about the problem of stuff getting in the church. Right? 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 3 talks about, you know, people are they're going to the wrong teachers. Going to their itching ears. They're going to the wrong things. They're listening to the wrong people. Right? The Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will fall away from the faith. How can you fall away from the faith if you're not of the faith? There's another teaching that I think is an error in the church. You cannot depart from the faith. That's not what that says. It says that some will fall away. Hard to fall away if you're never of it. They're going to pay attention to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. My goodness, sounds like New Ageism coming up in the church. It says new teachings, these things that are not right. These teachings that just are all the demonic. They're evil. They're horrible. They are love yourself. Love yourself. Pray for yourself. Hate those who persecute you. That sound quite right?
No.
By means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. How bad is it? It's like we've taken our conscience and we've deadened it with fire and just said, now, I don't care what the teaching is. I don't care what good teaching is. I want to hear what I want to hear. I'm going to cut off what my conscience is telling me. I'm going to cut off what God has given me. And I'm going to go to this garbage. Let me go to the dump and pull it out of the ash heap. That's what they're doing. They forbid marriage. They take these things where Paul's like, you know, for some of you, it's better for you not to get married. And for some of you, he says, it's better that you do get married. And they're saying, I'm only going to teach half of what the Bible says. And you're going to listen to my half. And that's it. That's garbage. Hot garbage. And advocate abstaining from foods. There are those who say you've got to live by the dietary laws of the Old Testament. Paul says, hey, there's those who are going to say you got to do that. You know what? That's hot garbage. Sorry. Sorry, not sorry, actually. You know, teach what the Bible says. Stop teaching what you want. That's what I would say to people. Start teaching the whole of Scripture. Don't teach your portions of it, which prove your theology. Teach it all. Go step by step, verse by verse.
Stop cherry picking what you like.
Huh?
And what you that you don't have to follow.
Right. Which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. God gave us the food to eat. Eat and be merry. Right? He's not saying, hey, you can't have shellfish anymore. Right? There are people who will... That's like one of the big things they say. Oh, God doesn't want you to eat shellfish. Do you eat shellfish? Yeah. Sure, I'll have shrimp. Why not?
I don't remember hearing.
They're like, in the Old Testament, you can't eat shrimp. Right there it says, we can have them. You know, God lowers a sheet from heaven and lays it out before Peter, and it says it's got all kinds of animals. Even those with cloven hooves, and it says, get up, Peter, kill and eat. And he's like, I've never eaten anything that was unclean in my life. And God's like, why are you calling things unclean?
What are you telling me was
clean? He's like, I created this stuff. Yeah, you're,
I'm God.
Stop it.
And then right after that, he sent him to a Gentile.
So we can't let abhorrent theology come from the church. The problem is the teachings... here, not here, but in the body, we hold that we're one church. We got to make sure that we're cleaning up house. You know, there's not supposed to be error in the church. You know, are we going to have small things that we get wrong? Yeah, I'm probably wrong on some of my thoughts, right? I'm probably wrong somewhere. You know? That's a fact. If I understood God perfectly, God's got a problem. Because that means that he's not beyond. His thoughts are not beyond my thoughts. His ways are not beyond my ways. They are my ways and my thoughts. And wow, that would make for a really weak God. If I understood
he's
God perfectly,
it's
not outside of my understanding, and that would be a problem. So are there things that I probably get wrong? Yeah, but guess what? It's probably not the big stuff. I'm probably on point with the big stuff. Right? We're not supposed to have error. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says, for I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. God is jealous. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, and I will not leave him unpunished who misuses my name to the third and fourth generation. Yeah, God is jealous. We have to remember that there is one God, and we are supposed to worship this one God. And when we start worshiping other things, God gets a... That's against the commandments. Let's just say it the way it is. For I betrothed you to one husband to present you as pure virgin to Christ. We're supposed to be pure. But Paul's saying, I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his trickeries, your minds will be led astray from sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, are people going to preach other Jesuses? Yes. Are they preaching other Jesus in America? Yes.
Oh,
the right. Jesus who's going to make you rich. The Jesus who's going to make you well. The Jesus who's going to do for you.
Send us $1,000, or they'll get you a car.
The Jesus who is going to show himself to you right now. Physically, in the flesh. The Jesus who has already come. The Jesus who says that you shall worship on a certain day of the week. The Jesus who says you shall not eat this, that, or the other. The Jesus who says you shall not, you know, live in this way. There are so many Jesuses in America. It's terrible, right? There's a Jesus who was a racist, a bigot, a homophobe. There's Jesus, you know, you can make it.
There's the Jesus of today, the homophobe, the racist.
There's woke Jesus. There's, you know, it's terrible. There's one Jesus. He's the Jesus in the Bible. We don't have all these other Jesuses. That's what Paul's really getting at here, right? Is stop it. Stop with the idolatry. Stop with making God in your image. You're made in God's image, not vice versa. He's not your genie. Guess what? Right? They preach another Jesus whom we have not preached. Right? Galatians says that if somebody comes to preach to you a Jesus, a gospel, other than the one that we have preached to you, if it were us or even an angel from heaven should bring to you another gospel, testament of Jesus, he is to be accursed. What do you call a cursed angel? A demon. So Joseph Smith says an angel named Moroni comes to him with another testament of Jesus Christ. That's what the Book of Mormon is actually called. Another testament of Jesus Christ. Testament is gospel. So an angel brought another gospel to Joseph Smith.
Okay, the Mormons are the ones that have...
planets and...
Multiple
wives, yes. Cannot have multiple husbands, but a husband can have multiple wives. Yes.
Well, that would have been horrible for starters anyway. You know, the multiple
husbands. Well, he beat that David.
So they also believe that you get your own planet and things of that nature. No, Brigham Young. But anyways, yeah. Yeah. They're on the bicycles, in the suits, ride the name, wear the name tags. It's crazy.
Yeah,
brothers.
You know, those kids actually...
Elders.
You know, those kids actually leave the home for 18 months?
Some do. So, but anyways, rather than digressing, let's rein this back in, right? So they bring a different gospel. An angel brought a different gospel. I think Paul kind of told us what to do with that. He says they're to be accursed, right? And that we've got to realize that this is a gospel, a different gospel, which we have not accepted. But then he says, this you tolerate very well.
Good people are trapped in that.
This,
right? Good people believe that.
This you tolerate very well. They're tolerating this garbage in the church. We're tolerating it in the church. Not here, literally, but in the body. In this one body of believers, this garbage is tolerated. Yucky. We're not to be greedy. Right? 1 John chapter 2, 16 and 17, it says, for all that is in the world, the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, boastful pride of life, right? Three big things. Lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, boastful pride of life is not from the Father. God doesn't give us these things. If we've got one of these going on, guess what? It's not from God. Give me your money. That's not from God. God will bless you if you... insert statement here. Probably not from God because you're worried about God blessing you. Not what you are doing for others. It's not from the world, from the Father. It's of the world. It's a problem with American theology. The world is passing away and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God continues to live forever. The world is passing away. So if we are caught in all of this, we're in the world. Not just in the world, but of the world. We need to be of God. Because those of God are not passing away, but have eternal life. Crazy. Right? He brings all of these things in, right? He says we're not to be covetous, swindlers, idolaters, right? Not to be a drunkard, right? A drunkard, he's talking to somebody who is actually given over to wine. Like, that's what they want. I want to go have a drink, and I'm not going to stop until I can't think. Right? Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We got to understand God's will. And do not get drunk with wine, which there is debauchery. Oh, that's bad. Debauchery. You know. Having a plentitude of immoral encounters with others. There you go. Debauchery. Be filled with the Spirit. Don't be given over to this, but be filled with the Spirit. Be drunk on wine. Don't be filled with the wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Right? Speaking to another love, right? In a loving manner. Singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord. Why do we love one another? Because we love God. He's got to be the ultimate purpose of our lives, of our time in the church. Yeah, we're not to be a drunkard. Right? And he even says, right? You guys thought I was writing to you about hanging out, about, you know, going out in the world and worrying about this stuff in the world. The problem is that that wasn't what I was talking to you about. I was talking to you about keeping it out of my church. For many deceivers have gone out into the world. Many have gone into the world to deceive us. Deceptions are out there. Netflix did the show that was the gay Jesus for a while. They pulled it down after all the backlash and all of that, right? Many deceivers have gone into the world. There are many people who've created this other Jesus.
I'm so glad I got rid of them. What a bunch of scumbags.
Those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh, right? There are those who say Jesus never came. In the first century, he's telling us that there are going to be those who are going to say Jesus never came. This is a deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch yourselves, that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Right? We have to keep in the faith, right? Because he says, anyone who goes too far and does not remain in the teachings of Christ does not have God. You don't remain in the teachings? You don't have God. The one who remains in the teachings has both the Father and the Son. Note, he differentiates. People are like, oh, well, you don't see the Trinity in the Bible. If you don't remain in the teaching, you don't have God. If you don't remain in the teaching, you don't have the Father and the Son. If you do remain in the teaching, you have both Father and the Son. Huh. Why the difference? It's the Trinity in the New Testament. Right? We see it. Paul's like, I'm not going to judge the outsiders. I'm here to judge the church. I got to tell the church what they're getting wrong. Right? Do not judge outsiders. And this is the judgment. Right? This is John 3. This is the judgment. Here's the condemnation. This is what it is. This is Jesus talking to Nicodemus. And he's like, hey, you know what's good, what's bad. You know what to do, what not to do. This is the judgment. That light has come in the world. People love darkness rather than light. People want to do the not good rather than the good. They will walk after the darkness rather than the light because it's easier. It's easier. Sometimes doing the right thing is just too hard. Why did they do that? Because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, so that his deeds will not be exposed. We're worried about exposure of what we're doing wrong. That's what he says here. so that his deeds will not be exposed. But the one who practices the truth comes to light. Once again, you'll note that Jesus never separates practice from faith. Never. Anytime we see practice and we see faith and we see belief, they're all kind of intertwined and intermingled. We try to make them two separate things, and we're saying, you know, yeah, we're not saved by anything that we do. Well, it's part of it. It's all got to be one. What we do, what we believe, have to be the same thing. Because if we're not acting on what we believe, then we're not coming to the light. He who practices the truth comes to light, so that his deeds will be revealed as having been performed in God. Right? I want people to know who God is. So we're going to act like he calls us to act. We're to do what he calls us to do. But I'm not going to judge the world. They're already judged in their unbelief. This is the judgment, that the light came into the world and that people loved the darkness rather than the light. That's the judgment. Christ has given them that judgment because they refuse to believe in the light. They refuse to believe in Christ. They refuse to believe in God. That's their problem. But Paul says, hey, I'm not here to judge the world. I'm here to judge the pew. I'm here to judge what's going on in the body of Christ. That's who he's judging. He even says it, right? He even says, hey, I'm here to judge that. For what have I to do with judging others? Do you not judge those who are within the church? God judges those who are outside. We got to judge those who are inside. That's what he says. Jesus even tells us that this is coming, right? Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. How do I know whether somebody has good theology or not? Their fruits, the output. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes. Like raspberries are, but grapes are not. Grapes come from grapevines. Crazy. Nor do figs come from thistles. No, they come from figs. So every good tree bears good fruit. If we're doing what Christ has called us to do, if we are truly in the vine, we're going to bear good fruit. But the bad tree bears bad fruit. Bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Nor can a good tree cannot bear bad fruit. Nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Not going to go to a crabapple tree and be like, yummy, this is a Granny Smith. That's not how that works. This is a crabapple. Good luck. Bitter. If you've never had one, they're really super, super, super bitter and will make your stomach like...
That could have been the fruit of Adnema. That is a very bitter fruit, yeah.
So, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them. You're going to know people, the prophets, right, that he's talking about here, by their fruits. How's the fruit looking? And just remember that God, he is going to serve as the judge of those who are not in the church. We know that God's judgment is right when he condemns people for doing these things. When you judge people for doing these things, but then do them yourselves, do you think you will escape God's judgment? If you're doing the stuff that's outside the church, do you think you're going to escape God's judgment? Really? Do you have contempt for God, who is very kind to you, puts up with you, deals patiently with you? Don't you realize that it is God's kindness that is trying to lead you to him and change the way you think and act? That's Romans 2:2-4. God wants you to be his. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance through his Son.
Then the question of who then shall be saved?
We have to repent and believe. And we really, truly, in all that we do, need to come to Christ. Because he is the one who sets that differentiation between the true Christian and the fake ones. The problem is the church hasn't been judging its own. It's been letting these bad teachings come in and set up home. And cause these divisions. Where the theology that's present in a lot of churches, while it sounds very Christian, it's very, very wrong. That's what Paul's writing about here. Is he's saying, hey, don't let this bad Christianity come in to the house of God. Let's pray.